Well, after the blockbusting performance of his previous novel, One Day, David Nichols is back with Sweet Sorrow, a coming-of-age novel with the theatre at its centre. Declan Burke has been looking at it for us. Declan, Charlie and Fran are the central characters, but the story begins with Charlie, who is at a crossroads in his young life.
At a crossroads in his life and at a school disco, actually, as the story opens. It's the last day of school for Charlie and his friends. And the school disco is a traditional kickoff, and there's all kinds of shenanigans, and at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, ridiculous music being played. But Charlie is quite an observational boy. He doesn't give himself much credit at all. He considers himself a very ordinary chap, but he's got an eye for the telling detail and also a good sense of who he and his friends are. And very early on, David Nichols sets the tone about what faces these kids, and particularly Charlie. Charlie says, "We listen to young adults stuck between cynicism and sentimentality, boisterous on the surface, but secretly daunted and sad." And the daunted and sad is because Charlie, he knows he has not done well in his exams. The results are due very, very soon. But his life has been falling apart for about a year behind the scenes. His parents have separated. His father has begun to slip into depression. So his studying has suffered. He would tell you he's not the brightest in the class to begin with. But he knows things are not going to be good. And while his friends and everybody he seems to know have plans to go on to college and have plans for the future, etc., Charlie's just facing into what he calls a void. And he assumes things are not going to go well for him over the next few years.
And who were the friends he hangs out with?
His friends Harper, Lloyd and Fox, and they're not main characters, they're relatively minor characters, but what they represent, I suppose, is quite important in the context of the story, because they're 16-year-old boys. There's a lot of horseplay. They're boisterous, as Charlie suggests. There is a lot of, you know, mock violence and crude insults and that kind of thing, and Charlie not necessarily thrives on it, but he has never experienced anything different. This is what friendship represents. So that when Charlie then gets involved, as we come to now in a moment, Charlie gets involved with the full Fathom Five Theatre Cooperative, who are putting on a production of Romeo and Juliet. He comes across a different kind of mock violence, a different kind of crude insult and so forth, but it's the juxtaposition of the reality of one type of friendship versus the pretense of the Shakespearean pretense of the other.
Now, really, the boy you describe doesn't seem to be like a boy who'd get involved in a theatre company.
He is not at all. And again, he simply has no plans to act. He shrivels up at the prospect of standing out on a stage and you know, orating to a crowd and so forth. And he struggles with the Shakespearean language when he first comes to it. But, you know, reading between the lines, and David Nichols doesn't make this clear, but, you know, we know very quickly that Charlie has been acting for quite a long time. He's been acting, pretending to his friends that everything is fine at home. He's been pretending to himself that this is how you're supposed to live. He's pretending that everything is going to be okay, when in fact, you know, he really understands that it's not. So when he is puts himself forward accidentally, he is pushing at an open door in himself that acting is actually something he's quite good at.
So Full Fathom Five Theatre Cooperative is the company, and there he meets Fran, and they're doing Romeo and Juliet.
That's right. So the Theatre Cooperative, they're out of Oxford, and they're funded by the Arts Council, and they put on a production every summer, and the idea is to kind of bring together kids from school and people from Amdram societies and so forth, and put on a production, and it's set as well in a fabulous kind of a rustic mansion on in the rural belts and so forth, and it's crumbling, and so it's a beautiful setting for it. Now Charlie has no interest in Shakespeare. It's Fran Fisher that, when he accidentally stumbles into this scenario, that she's very pretty for starters. He quickly realizes she's very smart, she's vivacious, she, you know, he's intoxicated by her, and she's a terrific actress, and he goes along with the Shakespearean thing simply because he's going to get to spend some time with Fran.
Now, David Nichols was himself an actor when he was a young man. How does he evoke that theatre situation and the theatrics of it, and I suppose the kind of faux-ness of it in places?
Well, there's a lot of faux-ness to it, all right. Well, it's a very endearing picture of... These are not professional actors. Some of them haven't acted at all. So obviously we spend a lot of time behind the scenes, and we do get a sense of how rubbish a lot of the early stages are. And of course everybody is, is throwing strops and so forth, and slowly it starts to come together. But you can tell certainly that David Nicholls spent a lot of time in theatre. Just a little kind of telling detail about how people interact behind the scenes, the different kind of personas that go to make up an entire cast. We have the preening young man who believes himself as the perfect Romeo, if only he weren't such a good actor, for example. Fran Fisher then is a brilliant actress because she removes herself, removes all ego from the, and thus renders herself a brilliant Juliet. So the detail of the kind of quasi-professional performance that's put on is lovely, and it's one of the nicest things in the book.
Now, he obviously fancies Fran, but is he intimidated by her? Because she's obviously literary. Does she wear that lightly, or does she intimidate him?
She totally does. She definitely wears it very lightly. She's very, you know, for all her talents and the fact that he thinks she's very beautiful, she's very pragmatic, she's very down-to-earth, very grounded. And that's one of the things that attracts her to him, that he is so totally grounded and he has no pretensions about himself. And to a certain extent, what I really liked about the love story aspect here is what the tone David Nicholls takes, because it becomes pretty intense, as you can imagine. But at the start, he's a 16-year-old boy. We have to make allowances, perhaps. But if I can just tell you about his first kind of strongest impression of Fran, he said, "It's true that I thought she was lovely, but I thought this about someone 5 to 10 times on any given day, and even alone, I thought it while I was watching TV. If I had been busier that summer or happier at home, then I might not have thought about her so much, but I was neither busy nor happy, and so I fell." That doesn't augur well, you would say, in terms of passionate romance and so forth, but it is the gateway into what does become a thrillingly passionate romance.
Now, they're doing Shakespeare, and they're doing Romeo and Juliet. Does that, besides it being a plot device in the novel, does the feelings and the themes of Romeo and Juliet come across into the romance?
Yes, and not in the manner I expected, I have to say. I mean, I simply assumed that it's Romeo and Juliet, it's a love story, so therefore, and Fran is playing Juliet. Charlie is originally slated to play Benvolio, and we assume that Romeo is going to break his leg and Charlie will have to step into the breach. Actually, what David Nicholls does is slightly more interesting to me, at least. It's the kind of backdrop, the ongoing feud between the Montagues and the Capulets that he kind of touches upon. And he has Charlie talking about the company are trying to come up with reasons why the Montagues and the Capulets are at loggerheads and so forth. And they come up with various reasons. And Charlie says, "Isn't the problem that there's no reason in the play? In the play, it's not because one side's posh or black or white or whatever. It's just what they're used to, fighting, lashing out, smashing things up. The boys, mainly, they're just confused, angry boys." And straight away, we think of Harper and we think of Foxy and we think of Lloyd and the relationship that Charlie has with his friends. And this is what leads us into, Charlie's gradual awakening of what he considered was important in his, what we're now considering his previous life. That, you know, that crude violence that he considered normal, when it becomes a fake thing, a pretense to be acted out on stage, it makes real how ridiculous his previous life had been. So I think that's a very interesting take on Romeo and Juliet from David Nicholls.
Do you think, One Day We Know was made into a successful film, and I think one of his other novels is being made into a film as well. Do you get that sense that it could be a film script, or has it got the depth of a novel?
Oh, I would have thought so, absolutely. And not just that, it certainly has the cinematic quality. You know, it's written as a novel and it works absolutely fabulously. But the setting, the scenario, it's young love and so forth. But I'm thinking particularly of that setting of the kind of tumble-down mansion in the middle of nowhere as a setting for Romeo and Juliet and so forth. Yes, I think it would work really well as a film.
You say it's funny.
Very funny, and I know that the humour is subjective and so forth, but I find it very, very funny. And I suppose it's to do with the context, Kay. Charlie as a character is very self-aware. He doesn't consider himself particularly bright, but he's very self-aware. And little throwaway lines the whole way through it to tell his volumes about his character. At one point, he's going to walk into the bar, for example. "The baked ground was now a swamp beneath my feet. That's how drunk I was. Drunk enough to make observations." We get that kind of thing the whole way through, with the self-deprecating quality that Charlie has that I found very humorous. At one point, he keeps his quote-unquote spare condom stashed in the cardboard sleeve of the Stone Roses second LP because I knew no one would ever look there. So there's all these kind of lovely little lines littered throughout. You know, it's not a comic novel by any means, but it's a very funny romantic novel.
And is Fran, is she a strong enough character up against Charlie, who has such charm and gains so much of our interest?
Yeah, she. I mean, it's Charlie's story, as we've been discussing, but very much so, and it's because Charlie perceives himself as being weak, as being directionless and so forth. And then Fran is, by comparison, you know, quite the opposite. And there's an opposite attract element to it. But she is very sharply defined. She's very, you know, I almost fell in love with her myself when I was reading the story. And it was largely to do with her ability to undercut all these expectations people have of her and that grounded quality that she has. You know, very, very endearing. And we don't want to give away too much about the story.
I think it's a yes for Sweet Sorrow, even though we haven't touched on the deeper and the sadder elements of the plot.
No, I think it's absolutely a thoroughly recommend. I think it'll be one of the hits of the summer, to be honest.
Sweet Sorrow by David Nicholls is published by Hodder & Staunton, and it's in shops now.